Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37. Romans, chapter 8, verse 37. Romans, chapter 8, verse 37 reads this way. It says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people, Lord, to open your word. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing and the leadership of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. And, Lord, that you would empower our lives to truly be the witnesses of your great grace that you've given to every born-again child that belongs to you. So bless and build Northwood, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is simply, "We Are More Than Conquerors." We are more than conquerors. That's good news, isn't it? Yes. Amen. That's exciting news. We are more than conquerors. Nobody wants to be defeated. I mean, anybody that plays any kind of a sport, they don't play to lose, do they? They play to win. And so even when you play a board game, or you like to win, right? And even if it's by accident, you like to win. And so even more important than the things that are in this world are the things that are eternal, because those are forever, aren't they? And we want to be found faithful when we stand before the Lord. And God says we can experience that here on this side and here of eternity. And when we consider this tonight, we want to consider to look at what is it that makes the believer more than conquerors. What is it exactly that brings this to pass? In fact, it says in all these things, and we'll take a look at that here, what all these things are that he's talking about. But so what is basically the root cause that gives the believer eternal life? That's where it all begins, isn't it? What is the root cause that gives the believer eternal life and everything really that good that comes from the Lord? And that is really the love of God. What is it that gave us eternal life? Well, it was the love of God. That's where it started, the root cause. Obviously, the Lord came and he lived on this earth and he died on the cross and shed his blood. But it was love that brought him here into this world, love for us that he has given to us. And so let's consider that as we look at this tonight. We want to look at three thoughts. The first one is the security of the believer, and that's because of the love of God, is it not? The love of God, it gives us security. And then a fatal flaw, we want to consider the fatal flaw. And then also, number three, the answer to overcome sin, right? We talked about being more than conquerors, and so we want to consider what the Lord's talking about here. And so back up with me here to verse 35. And so as we consider this, notice what we're going to consider. Verse 35, the question of that separates us to the Lord, right? Separating us, or what is it that would separate us from God? Amen? We want to be separated unto the Lord, but what is it that would separate us from the Lord? Well, verse 35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Take notice of that, the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, right? Those are trials, difficulties, or distress, or persecution. Did Paul know a little bit about persecution? Did the first century believers know a little bit about persecution? So, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Shall any of these things separate us? And notice what he says, as it is written, for thy sake, listen to what he says, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, in case you think that's just Paul and the apostles, he's talking about all believers here. Because it wasn't just the apostles that suffered for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says not some, not most, but that all that would live godly shall suffer persecution. That will happen. And who's the persecutor of the brethren? The devil himself. And by the way, listen, those who the devil uses even amongst God's people. Judas was a persecutor of that. He even persecuted the Lord, didn't he? When he said, this money could have been given to the poor, right? We could have sold this and it could have been given to the poor. But the Bible tells us he didn't care but for himself. And you know, as we know in the scriptures, unfortunately, he died and he is in hell today. Now, they try to make some historical things saying, oh, that maybe he's not in hell. No, the Bible says he is the son of perdition, right?
So he made his choice. God knew it far in advance. And I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't understand how it all works out. But God is sovereign over everything. He reigns over everything, right? He holds everything in his hands, and yet he gives us the freedom to make our own choices. Nobody will say, I did not have a choice to choose the Lord. I did not have a choice to walk after the Lord. We make our own choices, and we either receive or we reject the word of God, the truth of God's word. And so he says, who is going to separate us? And notice what he says, as it is written, verse 36. For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, what are these things? He's talking about tribulation, distress, persecution, famines. And he says, we're killed all the day long. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now notice the vehicle, through him that loved us. Who's that? That's God. Amen. Jesus, the Father and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, it is the love of God that holds us in his hands. Amen? So we can never lose our salvation if we are a child of God. Amen? A child of the King of Kings. If we belong to the Lord, nobody can take us out of his hands. We're in his hands. And that's the security of the believer. A lot of people don't understand that, and they miss out on that. But that's not where God wants his people. And then notice what he says right here in verse 38 as we consider this. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. I think he mentioned everything that could happen, didn't he? Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. That's children of God. From the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Nobody can separate us. God holds us in his hands. No matter what anybody would try to do, we have nothing to fear. We are in the hands of God Almighty. No matter what people may contrive in their hearts and in their minds, and by the way, the devil and his crowd don't like the gospel being preached. The devil and his crowd, by the way, listen again, Judas was self-absorbed. He was more concerned about himself. And by the way, Jesus said, many are going to say to me in that day, fathom this thought, there are going to be people that are going to stand before the Lord, before the righteous judgment of God, and they're going to say, but Lord, this is what we did. They're going to stand before the Lord, and they're going to say, this is what we did. We've done this, and we've done that, and the Lord's going to say what? I never knew you. You know why? They did not have the love of God. They had a form of godliness, no power. No power. They did not have a... See, a lot of people, oh, yes, I believe in the grace of God. I believe in Jesus. No power. That's just... Listen, God, does God want us to be without power? No, listen, that is the evidence. He says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to do what? To be witnesses unto me. Right? Listen, if God cannot deliver us from sin, what hope does the world have? If God cannot deliver us, then what are we showing the world? Not a thing. Not a thing. And if the world cannot see things not going our way, and we turn the other cheek or still have a cause to rejoice in the Lord, we are not walking in the power of the Lord. Now, it is possible for believers, born-again believers, to miss this. So this is what we want to consider. We want to walk in the truth of God's word, do we not? Amen. All right, so this is the security of the believer. Now, hold your place right here. Just back up to chapter 6 here of the book of Romans, chapter 6. And notice what it says here. He asks his questions in verse 1. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What does Paul say to that? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And then he goes on and he says this, verse 12. Let not sin therefore, because of all that we have in the Lord, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And he says, we don't belong. Listen, we are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it behooves us to walk accordingly. And because, listen, how do we do that? We're going to look at that here in just a minute. How does that take place in the life of a believer? So here's the question. Shall the believer continue in sin because we're under the grace of God? And Paul's answer to that was what? No. No, he says, God forbid. All right. Go to the book of Galatians just for a moment, chapter 3, and we're going to finish up here. Galatians chapter 3. And all this dovetails together. You can go through the book of Romans, and you can see that he's talking about the way of victory is revealed to the believer and how that takes place, and we'll see that here also. So, how is it? Listen, does God want us to be defeated by anger? Does God want us to be defeated by covetousness? What is covetousness? I want. I want. And if it's somebody else, I want it. Right? And by the way, anger, Jesus said, is like murder, isn't it? Right? If you're angry. So if these things are in our life, the very first thing we have to do is be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I've got a problem. Amen? Here's the truth. Ready? We are not perfect. And we will battle sin. The sad state is if we battle it incorrectly and are defeated by it. That does not glorify the Lord. We're going to see that here in just a moment, how that happens. So Galatians chapter 3, if you're right there. Are these people of Galatia, are they believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Okay, so they had this problem also. So notice verse 1. And here's the answer to overcoming sin. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who's cast a spell? Who has deceived you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? They saw in their hearts and minds that Jesus died for their sins, did they not? They are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul is addressing them and saying, who has deceived you? Isn't that what he's saying? So notice what he's addressing here. He says, verse 2, this only would I learn of you. He says, let's get down to brass tacks here. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Received ye the what? The Spirit, and it's capitalized, so it's the Holy Spirit. Received ye the spirits by the Spirit singular, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? That's the answer, is it not? They never received the Spirit of God. They never received salvation by the works of the law. We would say the works of the flesh, what I can do. Now, here's an amazing thing. If we want to understand how to overcome a bad temper, if we want to understand how to overcome any besetting sin that easily besets us, we have to engage the Lord the same way we engaged him for salvation. How was that? Because that's what Paul's referring to, isn't he? He's saying, how did you receive? How did it all start? Here's how it looked. Ready? Here's how it all started. By faith, every believer realizes they can't help themselves. Is that the truth? Amen. I cannot repair my sin. I cannot pay for my sin. I have nothing to give the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem myself. But God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the understanding that the righteousness of Christ on the cross of Calvary paid for how much of my sins? And would forgive me for how many of my sins? So by faith or trust, I look to the Lord Jesus Christ and put my trust or my faith in him to clean me from how many of my sins? And does he do it? All right. Now this is important. This is important. Follow this. He absolved, he forgave me for how many of my sins? You mean to tell me that the Lord Jesus Christ delivered us from all of our sins? Amen. Who is the deliverer from sin? So it can't be us. Amen. It can't be us. But here's what we try to do. Listen, this is why the book of Galatians is in here. Our natural tendency, even though we love the Lord, is to say, but look what I'm doing. And that's dangerous ground because, first of all, we will never have victory. God will see to it. You and I will, with the best of intentions, Lord, I'm going to do this for you. Oh, no, listen, if the Lord is not doing it for us, he receives none of the glory. If we do it, we look at me and look at what I'm doing, and that's the same problem that all those that will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ will be confessing before the Lord, and the Lord's going to say to them, I never what? So if we know the Lord, we need to know that is not the way to overcome sin in our lives. And by the way, if we do it, who are we going to pat on the back? We're going to pat ourselves on the back. So notice what it's saying right here. Ready? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we know the answer is by the hearing of faith. So Paul is going back, reverting. They are saved believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, you guys have gone off track. You guys are missing the wonder-working power and the joy and the rejoicing and the glory that belongs to the Lord. You're going to be defeated. Notice what he says about what they're doing. Verse 3. Are ye so what? He's saying, you're never going to do it. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect or mature by the flesh? So now you're going to be looking at what you're doing for God instead of what God's doing for us. And so listen, he is wanting these believers to understand how to have their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and not listen. Do you know the devil is the master of deception? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, no chance. We have no chance. Isn't that the truth?
Yes.
All right. Now listen. How about this? How about the flesh? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, what chance do we have?
Zero.
Zero. You can, and then here's what believers do. Well, you know, we're always going to battle sin, and we're just never going to overcome that. Really? Is that what the Bible teaches the believer? To just settle for the besetting sin, just give in to the besetting sin, just let it weigh you down and allow you not to have the glory of God on you and to live a defeated life. So nobody wants what you have. Listen. We are fooling ourselves. We have to petition the Lord if we want his grace and the power of his Spirit in our lives.
Amen.
And we have to be willing to be honest with the Lord, because if we say, oh, well, you know, you just sweep that under the rug, we're never going to have it. And so what is the standard of God working in our lives? Well, yep, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's consider, what is the answer to overcoming sin and to overcome the besetting sins that are in our lives? Now follow this. Listen, we will fight that until we see the Lord Jesus Christ. But God wants to give us victory over those things. And it's not like you learn what 2 + 2 is and then you don't have to think about it anymore. It's not like that at all. These are onslaughts from the flesh, it's something that we will battle all the time, and the Lord will deliver us, is delivering, and will yet deliver us, and he does want us to give him the honor and the glory and to have that victory so the world can see that the Lord Jesus Christ in us.
Amen.
Is that not who God wants to transform us into? So let's see what the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. You're right here in the book of Galatians. Look at chapter 5. Did he not tell us that he had to go so that he could give us the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Is that not what he told the disciples?
Yes.
All right, so let's consider this. Ready? Verse 22. And in fact, we're not going to go back into it, but verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's a battle that's taking place. God wants us to show him he wants to show us how this works, how we can have victory. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? The very first thing. The Lord Jesus Christ said, if you don't love your brother who you can see, you don't love God. What kind of love is that? How about this? Listen, does God just want us to put on a hypocritical face? No. God wants us to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. How? The same way he loves us. Yes. The exact same way. That means we don't sit back and scrutinize and judge and wonder, you know, what they're doing, what they're not doing, because we're nobody's judge. I promise you, there's enough dirt on our front porch to take care of than to start sweeping somebody else's porch. And if that's not the mentality, if our mentality is, oh yes, I'm gonna set myself up, we've fallen already. God wants us to keep our eyes on him. On him. You know, listen, if we're keeping our eyes on other people, well, look at the Corinthian church. We're of Paul. We're of Apollos. We're of Peter. Oh, we're only of Jesus. And he says, there's divisions among you, and the Lord says it smells bad. So notice this. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. What love? The love of God. Didn't we read that back in the book of Romans? That it was the love of God that held us. Three times he said that in those few short verses. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then notice, because of that, what is there? Joy. And because of that, what else is there? Peace. Long-suffering. Do you know what the Lord said? He says, the same measure that you meet without, that you give to others, he's going to measure to us. And by the way, he says when we do things to other believers, we're not just doing it to them. You know who else we're doing it to? Good or bad. You know who else we're doing it to? The Lord. We're doing it to the Lord. And so he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, look at that, faith, meekness, temperance. He says, against such there is no law. And they, listen to this, and they that are Christ's, those who belong to Christ, what have they done? They have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Did you get that? Did you see what he just said there? What did they do? They crucified it. If you want to overcome besetting sins, you have to go to the cross. Isn't that where our sins were absolved? And we say, Lord, I have an anger issue. I have a long-suffering issue. I'm not long-suffering. I have to look at these things, and I have to look at every believer. Every believer. Does God say, oh, it's okay to treat this believer this way and this believer that way? Or are all believers to be treated likewise? I mean, listen, is God fooled? Is God fooled if we've got animosity one toward another? No. So here's the thing. We hold back the blessing of God. We hold back the blessing of God. Can any one of us have convinced all those people that came in Sunday morning to come to church? No. All we can do is invite them. Who brought them in? The Lord did. The Lord, we will stifle the blessings of God if we are not honest and upfront before the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to crucify my flesh. That you would overcome the anger in me, whatever it is, whatever the besetting sin is, the not being long-suffering, the not being merciful. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. This is Micah 6:8. But to do justly, as God would do, and to love mercy. Mercy, what kind of mercy? The same mercy God gave us on the cross. And to walk humbly Does that mean we run the show? Does that mean everything ought to be done my way? Or do we look to the Bible and do it God's way? We need to find out what the Bible says about how we're to walk in the Lord, in the Spirit of God, or we will stiff arm. It won't matter what we do if our hearts aren't right before the Lord. Is that not the truth?
That's true.
Saved child of God, and you think we're going to bring in a crowd? I've been telling you this for years. I am not against promotions, but I'll be the first one to tell you, promotions won't honor and glorify the Lord. They'll bring a crowd in, but they'll be gone just as fast. I have watched it for 30 some odd years. I'm not against that because we will propagate the gospel. We had on average 112 teenage young people in our youth program back in 2003 to 2007. And we had 12 workers. And we were running ragged and we were preaching the gospel. Three, I think, made profession, and all of them were gone. They'll come for the hoopla. Show me in the Bible where that's how to bring them in. Or is it the preaching? Is it the foolishness of preaching the Word of God? What is it? See, if we're not careful, we come up with our own ideas. But the thing is for God's people to adhere to the Word of God, and God says, I'll bless that. Again, listen, I believe God wants to honor and glorify himself through Northwood Baptist Church. Amen. But we can't do it the way we think or our way. We have to do it the Lord's way.
Amen.
And we have to, first of all, start with who?
Ourselves.
Lord, is everything truly right in my life in your eyes? Because if we're not careful, we're pretty good people, but not before the Lord. We're not genuine, and we're not really loving, and we're not really caring, and we're not really giving if all we're doing is what we think. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do what? Not the things that I've asked you to do. Did you get that? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I ask you? You think Jesus is pretty serious about it? If Jesus is serious about it, should we be? And so listen. God is giving us an opportunity to say this. Ready? I need you, God. I don't want to do it my way. I need you. Because we're all going to stand before the Lord God himself and give an account for our lives according to his word, not what we think. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to disappoint the Lord who gave himself for me. I don't think you do either. But we have to petition the Lord. We have to take this seriously and say, God, you are worthy for me to make an appointment with you, to call upon you. You think 5 minutes in the Word of God and 5 minutes of prayer is going to make a Christian? A 5 minute devotion just before I head out the door, before I go to sleep, and a 5 minute word of prayer, and because we have to be serious with the Lord and petition him and honestly cry out to him and say, Lord, forgive me and empower my life for your honor and glory. And I'm going to lay it all out on the table right here before you, Lord. It's a mess, but I need you, Lord, for you to fix it. And you know the wonderful truth is? And we're going to end on this one. That's what God's waiting for. That's what God's waiting for. You know, it is God's desire to bless us. Do you know? You know this. He loves us. He loves us. But he is wanting us to put faith and trust where?
In him.
In him. In him. So the invitation tonight, the Lord says, come to me and I'll deliver you. Come to me and I'll show you my way come to me, and I'll rest my power upon you that will enable you to do things you'd never be able to do, that will bring praise and worship. Listen, I was thrilled Sunday. I hope you were too, at all the souls. We haven't seen that many visitors, I think, since I've been here. Who got the glory? The Lord. I couldn't wait to get home and praise the Lord and thank Him for His mercy and grace in speaking to the souls of all those people that need the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Would you stand? Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening thanking you once again, Lord, for your mercy and your grace toward us, wanting, Lord, you're wanting to use us and work with us. And Lord, we need to hear, open up our hearts and minds to hear the truth and to submit before you and to trust you, Lord, with doing the work you want to do in our lives, that we would truly be your witnesses. Bless as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.